Over the years, one of the very first reasons I've learned that many people give for attending a specific church congregation is the fellowship. The fellowship with fellow Christians of like mind and of like belief. And I think, without taking a survey, that most of us really enjoy getting together with friends, especially with friends who share our belief system. And we are not that way by accident. I think God actually designed us that way. I think we are all familiar with the scripture over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where it said, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him." And of course, we know that was talking about Eve in one sense, the word, but at the same time, the overall aspect of the suggestion of that is true for all of us. And I don't think it's that hard to make the connection that just maybe possibly God was also lonely when he decided to create man. That was a program sometime back. And was it James Earl Jones that did that and had that soliloquy about, and God stepped out? I think it was, and said, "I am lonely, I think I'll make me a man." I remember that every time I saw that. I think it was James Earl Jones, but I'm not positive. It's not hard to make that decision. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 also said, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." At the same time, God did not create us to go through life alone, but to be in relationships with others. I think if one is at all familiar with the scripture, it is a continual scripture of relationships, especially in the New Testament, and this gathering there is called fellowship. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers." In fact, this was a regular and an intentional experience of the early New Testament church. The description of Paul's, what is called and many times advertised as, his missionary journeys throughout the Mediterranean world of that particular time. He preached the gospel, but he preached the gospel. It was not the whole situation was not complete until, in effect, he had been able to gather these together so that they were gathering regularly in an assembly and having a fellowship there. One of the messages of the New Testament is that a Christian can grow and best please God by not living apart from other Christians. You'll remember the scripture over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where it says, "Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And I think we see the day approaching. I hope we see the day approaching, that we should be, you know, listening to that as well. The verse right before it tells us, in one sense, the word why he said that in verse 25. So in verse 24, he says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works." So the reason we gather together to fellowship with one another is to learn from one another, to love one another, and at the same time to provoke one another into love and to good works. And again, I think we're all familiar with the scripture found over in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, when it says, "Iron sharpens iron, and so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." All these things have us coming together, working together, and as a result of it, we're all made better as a result of that coming together and helping, serving one another. So exactly what is fellowship in the biblical sense? Does any time that we simply get together with friends or those of our congregation qualify as, quote, Christian fellowship? I think we as Christians, and I think you'll agree with me, have a unique bond with one another. We have all been reconciled to God and redeemed from the penalty of sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. This bond is referred to by John in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, when he says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So as we come together today and every other Sabbath day that we come together, we're coming together not only with one another, but of course with our Father and with His Son and our Savior and our soon-coming King, Jesus Christ. At baptism, we all had hands laid on us to receive that earnest, it's called, or down payment of God's Holy Spirit, and thus, in effect, joining us together in a bond of fellowship with all other fellow Christians. We can call God our Father. We can say truly that we can relate to other Christians. We have this fellowship, each of you, and some of you continue to recite this in one sense of word, that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have that common bond, that common fellowship, that common coming together that joins us together. Truly, I think, healthy families really enjoy getting together, enjoy spending time together. It's one of the reasons that we went down to Waco last weekend. Had a chance to see our granddaughter and her husband, who had been in New Orleans, moved back after he graduated from law school. And our other grandson, and then our grandson from Dallas came down, and our daughter-in-law. And one of our sons was missing and gone out of town, so he wasn't able to be there. But it was just really good for family to be there, as well as all the other people who were there who were friends. And it creates something that is very, I think, healthy for all of us to do. I think that is the way we should be as a part of the family of God. Regular time together, sharing, talking, laughing, and even, unfortunately, sometimes grieving together. We are all a part of what it means to be in a family. How many of you have families that have either regular or irregular family reunions? Well, that's probably about a dozen people or so put up. My family, for some reason or other, never did that. Part of the reason was they were scattered all over creation. I mean, from one coast to the other, and from Canada to, you know, the Gulf of Mexico. And so it was hard to get everybody together. Sometimes it seems like families stay more together in a general geographical area and are able to do that. So we never really had family reunions. This was when I was growing up anyway. Now that our family here, what Katie and I have with our children and grandchildren, they're reasonably close by, so we're able to get together, not necessarily as a family reunion, but we get together quite a bit as family. And it's a time that we all look forward to, being able to come together. As brothers and sisters in Christ, simply enjoying each other because of our common bond through our relationship to Christ and our commitment to the Father, the times that we spend together are, or at least should be, characterized by something more. Something more than just getting together. We are joined together for a purpose, just as we are called for a purpose. The receiving of God's Holy Spirit, which we each received at baptism, not only makes us a part of the family, it makes us a part of the body of Christ. There's a scripture found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you don't mind turning over there with me for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free," and later on in other places it says, "and whether we be male or female." In other words, everyone is gathered together. We're all in one Spirit, in one body, and have all been made to drink into that one Spirit. It's a very clear statement, I think, of how we as people are supposed to work together as one. We have the same Spirit. We're part of the same body, working together to fulfill what Christ has called us to be a part of. Each of us is specially, I said specially, not specifically, but specially gifted by God's Spirit to serve the needs of others. So I want to go back in 1 Corinthians 12 and begin at verse 6. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. It says, "There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The things that God gives to us as a part of His congregation, as it were, is for the good of the common good, the common good of the congregation for everyone. "To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by that same Spirit. To another, faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. goes on to say, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of languages, and still to another, the interpretation of language. These gifts from God through His Spirit are there specifically for our usage in helping the body of Christ to grow and to serve. Goes on to say in verse 10, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinction between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of languages, still the interpretation of language. And in verse 11, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He gives them to each one of us as He determines. The body is a unit. It is one unit together. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. All this means that Christian fellowship, in effect, involves, in fact, it even demands the giving and serving of each of us. That we're here not to be served and not to receive, but to give and to serve. Whether we get together with our brothers and sisters, we should be prepared to give of ourselves and to serve as it is needed. And the Greek word that's translated fellowship in these scriptures is koinonia. Now, you may or may not have known that. It's not important. But it's translated within the New Testament in many different words to sort of show the gamut of what it can mean. In Romans chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "For it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution," same Greek word that is also said fellowship, "for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." I think we're familiar with this when Paul was taking up that collection. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13, "And for your liberal distribution," again, same Greek word, "unto them and unto all men." And this is speaking of helping those that were suffering in the area of Judea. And then in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, I know I'm going sort of fast on some of these scriptures, he says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with," again, the same Greek word. So you see the many different ways. It says contribution, distribution, share with, fellowship. It comes from the same Greek word. It all means us coming together as one to love one another, to serve one another, to give to one another, to share. "Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." And I think I can say without a doubt that everyone in this room is striving to please God. And this is the way we do it, one of the ways that we do it. I will never forget a sermonette an individual gave in a congregation I previously had pastored. The name of the title of the sermon, of the sermonette, was, "It is not what you get, it is what you give." It is not what you get, it is what you give. I think you can guess what the subject he was speaking about was, but basically he was talking about serving one another when we gather at church or any other place where we have that opportunity. That is the central, that is the crucial component, essential to true Christian fellowship. If you don't have that, you see congregations falling apart and going their separate ways, where you have someone who is, we used to make jokes about this, excuse me, who is going to push the button to start the cassette tape playing? We've had churches to split over that. That's a real serving and a real giving attitude. Now, we don't have cassettes anymore, but we have CDs, and they're going out of style too. We now have thumb drives. What's going to be next? I'm not sure. Some of these techo people could probably tell me. But what it's all talking about, that we come together to learn, to serve, to give, and to help one another, and to, in effect, learn how to help others as well. Not just those of the members of our congregation. And that's one of the reasons why we have in the past participated in things like this Day of Caring. We're helping others. And every other thing that we've done when we used to go out and sing to the area of the nursing home. All these are times where we have the opportunity to serve, and I pray we're going to continue to pick that back up as we go forward and go ahead and continue to do that. The crucial component essential to true Christian fellowship is serving and giving and sharing. It's easy to slip into a lesser purpose when we gather together. but simply feeling good or having a personal enjoyment, while it's important, but it should not be the goal. It's not why we come. It's one of the results that we receive as a result of coming together. If we're not coming together to serve and to give and to share, then we're in for a dead end. We're going in the wrong direction. True spiritual growth and development, fulfilling the promises that Christ has called us for, is and will take place when we are focused and intent on service and on giving. Any other direction, you might say, is going in the wrong place. A man I know, some of you may have knew him as well, he used to say that Christianity is the way of giving and not getting. Some of you will recognize that phrase. But that's also something that can and has been wrongly used to try to have people give more from their pocketbook. That's not what it's talking about, even in this particular case, or should not be what it's talking about. It's talking about the giving of self. Excuse me for a moment here. When the early New Testament church gathered together, they worshiped God, they memorized Scripture, they heard Paul or Peter or John or one of the others testifying of Christ, they prayed together, they sang songs, they helped those who were less fortunate as them, they helped others that were challenged, and then they challenged one another in their lives to come to a closer conformity to the teachings of Christ. Does that sound familiar possibly? Fundamentally, not that much different from what we do and what we come together to do as well. But I think there was a greater emphasis on serving and giving and helping. By necessity, possibly? I don't think so totally, perhaps. But there's nevertheless the undeniable example in Christ and in the apostles and the church, the local church, of the effective utilization of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll be hearing a little bit more about that tomorrow. But we read in some of Paul's earlier teachings in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we saw those concerning the spiritual gifts. But it's interesting to know how Paul began the chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in verse 1 when he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." In other words, don't have the right information, right knowledge. Then he went on to explain, as we saw earlier in the various scriptures we read, the various gifts and how they're given to us for the profit of whom? All. The profit of the church. And not for the profit of us individually. They're given so that we can profit the church and it can grow. Then he closes the chapter with a statement that we all have different gifts. We read through those. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, he says, and you're very familiar with this, I think, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." And then he goes into 1 Corinthians 13, which is commonly called the love chapter. We've called it that as long as I can remember it. I think it's just a common name. But he says it is the more excellent way in that scripture in verse 31 of 12. "I show you a more excellent way." Then he really puts the final touch on it in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12 when he said, "Even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel, not individually, but to the edifying of the church." That we are to exceedingly excel to the edifying of the church, to the giving of the church, to the giving of the purpose of what we're here for. Not to self, but to others. Our service to one another, our service to others, derives from our spiritual gifts. But we're all different. Look out there and I see, ever how many it is, 35, 40 different faces. We may not all have the same spiritual gift. I don't think we do. We have different gifts. But how well are we using and utilizing those gifts for the edification of this congregation and the church overall? We each have those different gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 12 leads up to 13. the love chapter. Then 14 flows out from it, so that we should be using our gifts that flow from God for the love, to show the love of God that is in us, to be doing, in effect, what He has done for us. He gave to us. We were given His Holy Spirit at baptism. When we are fellowshipping with others, whether it be on the Sabbath with each other, at combined services, maybe on a holy day, at the Feast of Tabernacles, wherever it is, even with maybe unbelievers, we should ask ourselves, how can I serve? In what way can I give my gifts to help others? We're not here, as it said, to get or to receive. We're here to give and to serve. We here in Tyler have been unbelievably blessed by a tragedy. The tragedy was the freezing of the pipes. You see the result of it here. This would not have happened had that not happened. And there have been a lot of people got involved in that to make this come about. We now have, for all practical purposes, a brand new building with a group of fellow Christians who have been hard at work planning and putting together how can we best utilize this building. We were able to, shortly after everything was fixed, to be fortunate enough to have a couple of families join with us, and we had the need all of a sudden for a Sabbath school. Now we have a vibrant Sabbath school going every week with anywhere from, it depends on how many people show, whose family's sick that week. We can have as many as 12 or 13 to show up, because we have some people who are attending here now specifically because we do have a Sabbath school. They're not able to come maybe every week, but they're coming here because we provide that service. Is there anything that we can do more important than to teach our younger people? I don't think so. I've spent my time in the Church of God over the years doing everything I can to serve young people. Primarily my focus was in the teenage area, but I have taught them much, much younger than that, and many of you have spent your time as well and still do in serving in that area of the youth. How much time have any of us spent now in planning how we're going to better serve God with this gift that we have received, with the blessings that we have received? How many of you have taken time to sit down and think, what can we do that would better utilize the gifts that we have received and the blessings that we have received? If at the end of this year, all we have is a building, then what have we accomplished? What have we done with this blessing, this gift from God? And this is also true even for those of you who out there don't have that same type of a blessing. What are you going to do with the gifts that God has given to you? They may be different, but we all have gifts, we all have blessings, we all have received things that we can share and that we can serve and give to others. It's easy to get in a rut. It's easy to get in a rut and just keep on doing what we've always done. You know, you get up, get ready, come to church, fellowship, have a potluck, maybe have a Bible study, then go home. We should continue to enjoy the fellowship that we have with one another each Sabbath or any other time we come together. But there are some who nowadays, and hopefully I'm not going to offend anybody when I say this, I'm too tired to go to church today. I'm just going to watch it online. It's a blessing for those that don't have a regular fellowship or have too far to travel or have illness or infirmities of other kind to be able to go online. But it's certainly not an excuse for not being in church. But that's why God has called us. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Do we realize that we are the elect of God, that God has chosen each one of us from a world out there that doesn't know some of the things that we know? As the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long sufferings. So we, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ also forgave you, so also do you to others. And above all these things, put on charity. sometimes called love, which is the bond of perfectness. What did Christ say? He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another now as I have loved you. How did He love us? He died for us. I don't think, I hope, I pray that none of us are called to have to do that. But it's possible. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and in hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Boy, that's a challenge. True fellowship is far more than just gathering together on the Sabbath to sing songs, to pray, and to worship. None of those things are wrong. They're what we should be doing as well. Or to have a potluck, or to gather at someone's home. Rather, it should be a shared relationship with Jesus Christ and the common bond that we have in the sacrifice that He made for each of us to use and develop our God-given talents and abilities to serve and to help others. I would pray that Christ could say about us what the Apostle Paul said about the churches of Macedonia in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 3, he said, "For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their ability and even beyond their ability, pleading with us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. For that is what true godly fellowship should be about, that of serving, of giving, and ministering to others through the gift provided by the unity of God's Holy Spirit."